Thank you, Jorge. Good morning to each and every one of you. It's a good privilege to be together and to look in God's Word and see what He has for us this morning. A few thoughts I've been thinking about, and I want to appreciate Jim for say a word of appreciation. I guess he's not here this morning, but he was willing to fill in for me on Thursday evening at a very short notice. I was kind of in trouble on a job. He came out and he says, "Yeah, I guess you are in trouble." So it was. I knew it was going to be a long day. Whenever there's a Waterfalls Village over off of Howard Road, and we had quite an in-depth job there. But I appreciate him doing that. The thoughts that I've been thinking about is the fact of maturity, the fact that we are to be complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been thinking about that for some time. Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's obvious in the times in which we're living that we're living in the last days of the church, and the church as a whole is in trouble. The various forms of doctrine, philosophies of man, and the tossing about as the waves of the sea we see today. We see apostasy and turning away from the truth. But I'm picking up with the thought that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That he might be mature. And the only way that we can stand firm in the day in which we're living is to stand upon the Word of God. The Word of God is instruction in righteousness. You go to a school with the intent of learning. There's an instructor who teaches. And an instructor is one who gives the knowledge with the intent of changing one's mind, isn't it? And that's what the instruction in righteousness is all about. The Word of God is instructing us in righteousness, giving us instructions to change our mind and to think upon the things that are eternal. We need to be instructed every day. We need to be reproved or brought under conviction of sin in our life day by day. We need the correction. If we're off on the wrong path, we need to be willing to be brought back in the right path with God. We need the instruction in righteousness that we might be mature. And the one who instructs us is the Spirit of God, isn't he? He takes the things of the Word of God and convicts us and convinces us of the way in which we should go and the way we should think. And I've been thinking about that fact, that the man of God might be perfect, that he might not be just tossed about, but as a child of God in the day in which we're living, with the unrest that we see in the world and the way that man is going, we need to stand and to be perfect. And the only way we can is to stand upon the Word of God. We saw an incident in the paper just recently. Last year, a man teacher. This year, a woman. This is the world in which we're living in. Parents are saying, how can the kids understand this type of a thing? How can they respect and be willing to be taught? These are the days in which we're living, in which man is turning from the things of God and so against God and turning to the wickedness of this world system. And we have instructors that are wicked before God and are claiming to be examples, but are examples of the wickedness of the heart of man. We're expecting kids today to go by our example, to be an example, and to live by our example, but yet teachers that are against the moral laws of man. This is the day in which we're living. So much more that as believers we need to stand upon the truth of the Word of God. We need to stand. And in order to be perfect, to be mature, we need to be in the Word of God and our focus on Him. Now, as that is an introduction, I want to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 13. One of the greatest conversations that we see is the conversation that our Lord had with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a man who sought to see Jesus. He wanted to know Him. And the great phrase, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 3. To see the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And we see there the great picture of redemption, the salvation that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go down to verse 13 for the sake of time. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want us to think of one of the aspects of a perfect man or a maturing man or woman is looking up. Our focus must be up. It cannot be in the things in this world. It's easy to focus around us, isn't it? The things that are temporal, the things that we see, the temporal things that's going to pass away. But to focus on eternal things is a far different view. Focus on things that by faith we don't see but we accept, because the Word of God tells us so. We need to look up. Of course, the illustration that is used, that the Lord Jesus speaks of, is Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He says there that no man came, ascended down from heaven, but he that descended. And the Lord Jesus speaking there that He was the one who came. He's the only one who came from heaven's glory as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, to give His life on the cross of Calvary. He that came down from heaven, He came down that He might be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And eternity passed as the Lord Jesus was with the Father. He saw in the wilderness. He saw there and he heard the complaining of the children of Israel that they had no bread and no water and were loathing here in this light breath. And they spake against God and against Moses. And as a result, God sent the fiery serpents to bite them. And when they did, the people died. And as they were bitten there of those serpents, and as they saw death all around them because the serpents were biting the people and they were dying, they cried out to God and said, "We have sinned against you and against Moses." When they confessed their sins, God said to Moses to put a fiery serpent, a serpent of brass, upon a rod and lift it up. And whenever they looked at that serpent, if they were bitten and they looked at the serpent, that they would live. They would live. And you know, it's a tremendous picture of salvation, isn't it? The serpent in the Garden of Eden has bitten many people throughout the time upon earth since then. The serpent continues to do that. Sin continues to kill people and to bring death. That's the result of sin. The result of sin, condemnation has come into the world, and men are condemned before God because of sin. We see today that the serpent of condemnation, the serpent of sin, Satan himself, as a result brought death and man's disobedience against God. And we see man is brought to another test of the serpent, in which if they that were bitten of the evil serpent, if they would look to that brass serpent upon the pole, that they would live. So it is today that man needs to look up to the Savior, needs to recognize that sin brings death. Sin is condemnation before God. And if man would only confess his sins before God and recognize that he's a sinner and trust Christ as their Savior and look to him who's been lifted up, that man would be saved from death. Man would never die. The Lord Jesus said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Where are we looking to? If you're here this morning and you've never looked at the Savior, you've never looked up to him and confessed your sin and realized that the only way you can be free from sin and have a conscience free is through receiving Christ as a Savior by recognizing that his blood paid for your sin and would set you free from death. You need to do that this morning. Look to the Savior who's been lifted up, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are we looking to? In order to be a mature man of God or woman of God, we need to look to him, to have our eyes focused on him and to be centered upon him. We sang the song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful grace, face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You see, when Noah came out of the ark and the flood waters had receded, as he brought the sacrifice to God, and in the clouds God showed him a rainbow as an evidence that judgment was passed. As Noah looked up into the sky and as he saw the rainbow, it's an evident token of a covenant that God made with man that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. And it's a reminder when we see a rainbow today of the covenant that God made with man. When we look up, we see God's evidence of the judgment that was passed. And to the child of God, when we look to him, by receiving him, judgment is passed, and we have a life that is centered with him. The man of God, to look up. And then we see that God wants us to grow up. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 11 through 15. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all, but Paul is speaking here concerning the gifts that God has given to the church, and for the purpose in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We might grow up into him. And I was thinking of that fact. Not only do we look up, but we need to grow up. At our family reunion, we had to realize that a number of us are growing old, getting older, and more white hair, and a little slower for some of my family. How do we grow up in the things of the Lord? As a perfect man, as a man and woman who is maturing in the things of God, how do we grow up to become established that we're not tossed to and fro with the winds of the day? And I think as we recognize, as Paul writes here, that we're part of the body of Christ. We're not alone. We're part of a body. He's the head. We're part of his body. We're members one of another, members of his body. And it's the concept, I think, of the body that ought to help to encourage and to help us in maturing unto the perfect man. That we're part of a body, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our head. And he wants us to grow up. He wants us to grow up together and to grow unto him who is our head. And I was thinking about that thought of, and you feel like you're alone or you feel like you're not really growing in the things of the Lord. You're just kind of going along, nonchalantly. And I've experienced that in my life before. But we need to stop and to grasp a hold that we're members of his body. That he's the head. And that he's the one who's building the body. He's given the gifts to the body. That we might become mature. That we might together, through the word of God, become established and become mature in him. Speaking the truth in love. simply speaking the truth of the Word of God. For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. And there's much weakness in the body today. We see about us the changes that take place in gatherings. We see things that are once withheld as a conviction of the truth, and standing on the truth is no longer is put aside, is no longer recognized as part, is something that would help me in maturing in the things of the body of things of the Lord as part of the body of Christ. We need to recognize that the Lord is the head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. And as members one of another, to encourage and the exercising of gifts and the desire as we look up through speaking the truth in love, that we might grow up in the things of the Lord. The Lord wants us to grow in Him, to become the perfect one, the maturing one, to be established in the things of Him. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Another thought I had was to gird up the loins of your mind. To gird up. The word instruction, as I mentioned, in righteousness, it seems to take in the fact of the training of your mind. God wants to change our mind. I know I've often, someone has, I forget who it was, has commented on the verse that the Lord wants to bring every thought into captivity of Christ. In 2 Corinthians, verses, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 6, and I forget who it was that has commented on that. To bring every thought in our thinking to the captivity of Christ, that He might take control of every thought that we have. That's quite a thing, isn't it, when you think of it? But we need to gird up the loins of our mind in order that our thoughts and our mind might be brought in to focus with Him. The word gird there has the it's like a girdle around a long robe. In the Eastern culture they wore a long robe, but this girdle would come around and would keep the robe tightly so that it could move around and they're ready to go at any time. And you know, that's what Peter is writing about. To bind us around, to bind around us. Remember in Exodus that the children of Israel, when they were leaving Egypt, God told them to put a girdle on and sandals on your feet, and to be ready to go, to gird up yourselves and to be ready to go. And that's the thought that is here. We need to be focused on Him, that our minds might be alert, that our mind might be keen to the things of Christ. And instruction is a changing of the mind, redirecting of the mind to the things of Christ. And Peter says to be ready, to focus your mind upon Him, to be alert, to be on guard, to be sensitive to the things of God. And as part of being the process of growing and maturing as a man or woman of God, to gird up the loins of your mind, our thinking. And he says to be sober. Ed often defined that as to have clear thinking, to be serious. And you know, that's what Peter says, that our thinking ought to be clear in the things of God. We ought to be serious about the things of God, and to be focused on Him, to have clear thinking as we seek to live for the Lord day by day and seek to please Him. As we gird up the loins of our mind, to have our thoughts focused on Him, that our minds might be keenly centered on Him, and to be clear in our thinking concerning Him. Hope to the end. It's great to know that we have hope. And Peter is focusing on the end. At the end of life, for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is focusing on the time when he would be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope to the end. What a great thought it is when we think of the fact that we have a hope that is eternal. It's eternal. And you know, in John chapter 3, I'm just going to go back to that for a moment, but in verse 16 there, that whosoever believeth in Me shall not perish. You know, I was thinking about that. When we believe in Him, we take on His life, isn't it? We take on His life. We believe in Him. We believe all about Him. And it's not only now, but it's for eternity. In Him is life, and the life is the light of men. When we believe in Him, we're taking on His life. His very life. We're part of the divine nature, Peter says, of His divine nature. We're part of His inheritance forever. We have an inheritance in heaven that fades not away. It's His whole life that we've been saved to. So much the more we need to gird up the loins of our mind and to recognize that it's His life that we, the moment we're saved, that we enter into. The life of godliness. Be holy as I am holy. The life of holiness before Him. In every aspect of His life. And as the head of the body, as we grow up unto Him, it's His life that we focus on, isn't it? It's not ourselves, it's not anything that we do or achieve, but it's simply His life. And as we focus on His life, we will see the fact that what He wants us to be, or who He wants us to be, in a life before Him. To be sober, I think, has the thought, too, of humility. Recognizing before God that we're nothing, but that He is everything. I think of what John the Baptist says, He must increase, but I must decrease. Quite a thing for when we think of it. John humbled himself and as a servant, became as a forerunner, that I must decrease and He must increase. We need to humble ourselves and to simply depend upon Him in the day in which we're living. We're to gird up ourselves and the hope that is to the end, for the grace is to be brought. You know, according to in Israel's timepiece, in the Word of God, one day there's going to be a headstone that's going to be placed, Zacharias says, and they're going to say, grace, grace unto them. When all is said and done, the headstone that will be placed will be a reflection of the grace of God to Israel and to the end of their day. It will only be by the grace of God. And so it is with us, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is part of His body. It's His grace that takes us to the end. He's our headstone. He's our cornerstone. He's the one, the stone that the builders rejected. He became the head of the corner. It's our great cornerstone. And that grace through to the end, the revelation of Jesus Christ. His grace will carry us through. We see the fact that His grace is eternal. It's only by His grace can we mature, can we grow in the things of the Lord. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So only by His grace can we grow to be a mature person in the body of Christ. The wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ saves us by His grace, keeps us by His grace. And one day at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when we see Him, the great expression of His grace will be sounded forth in the triumph and the wonders and the majesty of His grace. It's all by His grace. It's not of ourselves, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What a day to look forward to when we'll see Him face to face. We rejoice with Him, but He wants us to be mature in the day in which we're living. We see so much tossing about and so much weakness in the body of Christ. We need to be strong and to stand firm for Him. We need to be maturing. We need to have a mind that is open to instruction in righteousness, a spirit to be corrected, a body to be transformed, that we might truly honor Him and bring glory and praise to Him in every aspect of our life. Revelation 4, the Lord says, come up hither. And we're looking for that time when the Lord will hear the shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And you hear the sound, the call to come up to heaven. The door being open, and we enter in to heaven's gates. In the meantime, as we're here for a while, that we might mature and grow up in the things of the Lord, that we might look up, that we might seek to grow up, that we might gird up the loins of our mind and to be focused on him, to be centered on him, that we might be a perfect man or woman, thoroughly furnished in all good works, all furnished, prepared for all good works. Let's just close in prayer.